A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse. We're having fun talking to the listeners who have stopped by here this morning. We are at J&J Garden Center for the Tomato Frenzy. Lots of folks stopping by. And we've just had so many wonderful questions as well. Let's get back to our phone lines this morning. And let's take a call from Taylor in Farmington. Good morning, Taylor. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. I was just wondering what I have to do. I have some cuttings from a mountain mahogany. And I'd like to get some starts and plant them here and there. And so I'll just listen and see what your advice is.
Well, you're going to need a heat mat. And you can pick those up from local garden centers like J&J. Sometimes you can pick them up from box stores. And then you're going to want a fairly well-drained potting soil and put them on there. And you're going to cover that with a dome. I've actually rooted mountain mahogany. And they're not hard, but it's just critical that they stay moist and that you have them with bottom heat. And those will be the tricks to do it. But what I want to know is I was driving up from Santaquin this morning, and all Farmington seemed to be blowing away. I don't know if we still have them.
It does periodically.
Yes.
We're kind of used to it, having everything blown away.
Yeah. No.
I've lost all the shingles on my roof one time, and we're always out cutting down trees for neighbors that have been blown over. So,
Wow!
If you want to live in Farmington, you got to get used to the wind.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate
your
call.
Thank you for your help. Yeah. I hope I can find some success with that.
Yeah, make sure that you use about just newer growth from last year. 1 year old wood would be the best, and get them about 4 or 5 inches long, with about half the stem with the leaves cut off in the soil.
And just lay them flat, and then they'll.
No, don't let them stick them into the soil so they're upright.
Do I need to use any growth hormone, root hormones?
That would help. If you have Rutone or an Hormodin or another one, yeah, that can help. But okay. The bottom heat's going to be critical, too. So.
Bottom heat. Okay. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener is wondering where to plant sweet peas, what sun do they like, and do they need to trellis them?
Well, the sweet peas need to be planted in full sun. It's a good time of year to plant them. And if you were going to let them sprawl on the ground, then you want to put some mulch or something underneath to keep them out of the mud. But if you want to trellis them, that is perfectly fine.
Next person wants to know what the gooey gel-like stuff on the trunk of their 3-year-old apricot tree is. It's about 3 feet above the ground. Is it something they need to treat?
It's probably, we were talking about that canker earlier, it's probably Cytospora.
Mm-hmm.
This last couple of years has just been really hard on fruit trees, especially stone fruits. And I see a lot of them with these cankers that are exuding that gummy sap on the trunk, especially if they were not painted or wrapped. And so that just goes back to that fruit tree care. We're comparing them to hot tub and swimming pool care because you can't walk away. And one of the critical things is wrapping those trunks with tree wrap in the fall or painting them with water-based latex paint.
All right, let's go to Barbara in Mill Creek. Good morning, Barbara. What is your question?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I have an invasive perennial weed in my yard that I'm not sure it's taking over the yard and the lawn and everything else. Its leaves are longer and kind of almost like a dandelion texture shape, but it has runner roots that go crazy, and it has small white cluster flowers that are just about ready to bloom.
It's called hoary crest or white top, and it is very invasive. One plant can produce several hundred plants through root runners, and then that excludes the seeds. And so I'd actually recommend you can spray it now. Did you say it's in your lawn?
It's, yeah, everywhere.
Okay. Well, Roundup alone will knock it back, but it won't totally kill it. And so what you would do is probably use a lawn weed killer such as Trimec or Ortho's Weed Be Gone. There's another one I like that you'd probably have to pick up from Great Basin Turf or J&J called Q4 Plus. You may find it at some place like Regan's or IFA, but Great Basin and J&J carry it regularly. That Q4 Plus has a product called Quinclorac that I've used in my yard because I have the same weed, and it's still not totally gone, but I can get a good 70 or 80% kill with it.
Okay, great. And you called it Hoary Crop?
Hoary Cress or Hoary. White Top.
Hoary Cress.
Is a biblical term for hair. So if on your hoary head, it means you have lots of hair on your head.
Aha, good. All right, I'll look for that. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for your call. Next listener has really suffered with powdery mildew on their peonies for the last couple of years. They've treated them quite a bit. They're wondering how and how early, what you would suggest, how they should treat them and how early they can start.
Well, as soon as they start to come out, if they're getting, as Andy mentioned, this overhead watering on certain perennials and vegetables is just so tough on them. And one of the ways that those peonies continually have powdery mildew is overhead watering. And so if they can water from the base, that would help. But I would recommend spraying them every week to 10 days with probably neem oil or triple action. Has neem in it, but neem or triple action actually has some antifungal properties and should keep that powdery mildew at bay. But it's also going to be critical that they try to keep overhead water off of them.
Okay. Your preference for peach borer insecticide, please.
Permethrin or Carbaryl. They need to be sprayed monthly. And you soak the trunk and lower limbs, and especially around the base. And you start doing that in early to mid-June, and you do that monthly until mid-September.
Okay. Ed in Orem is asking, is it time to start squash, cucumbers, and pumpkins indoors?
Yeah. Andy, do you want to take this one?
You know, you can. It's a little bit early. I mean, I'm starting mine here as well, just because people want them. But it's there again. If you're going to do it, once those get sprouted, make sure you get them off either heat mats or get the lights off of them, because they can stretch really bad on you. And then bump them to a larger type of a container. Typically, most of your farmers and stuff won't even plant that type of seed outside until sometime in May. Just because they're so tender. Cucumbers, man, they freeze at the sight of anything. So, I mean, if you're going to do it, that's fine. Just there again, just be prepared that if you're going to move them outside to cover them up.
Any tips for keeping your tomato plants from getting leggy between now and when you plant them in May?
So the best thing to do is, if you've started them yourself in your home, there again, get the grow lights off of them. Get them in a sunny location. Take them outside, like a day like today where it's nice and sunny, and let them just accumulate to this weather, and let that sun beat on them, and that'll keep them from stretching. And if they do stretch, remember, we talked about this earlier, plant them deep. Plant them deep, and they'll be just fine.
Some other things I've done on mine when they've got a little leggy, I've pinched them before they get leggy. And so when they get about 6 inches tall, I pinch the leader out of them. And for 2 or 3 weeks, it makes them go sideways until they develop a new leader. But Andy's, what he said is absolutely correct. They need that bright light and get them outside and get a little bit of wind on them so that they bush out instead of go up.
All right, we are at J&J Garden Center for the Tomato Frenzy, which is underway until next Saturday. But oh my gosh, Andy, you have everything here, and people are excited to get out in their yards.
But, you know, we've all been kept inside this whole COVID thing and been cooped up. We ain't been able to travel. We ain't been able to go to the movies. We haven't been able, some parks are closed. We haven't been able to do nothing. So people have found a new hobby, and that's gardening. And we've got everything imaginable, the trees, the shrubs, the grasses, the
blooming perennials.
Draw
me right in.
All the greenhouse stuff, all the annuals and the vegetable gardens, whether you want to do it from seed or from starts. And it's a feel-good thing. It's just wonderful. Get out in the sunlight and get your hands in that soil. And it's just what things are meant to be, right?
Right. I can't believe how many trees I've seen go by, too. I mean, everything from ponderosas to blooming whatever and fruit trees.
Right now is the best time to be, whether it's spring or fall, is the best time to be planting trees. Or the joke is, as soon as you can find somebody to dig the hole.
Right.
You know? So if you've got that somebody, get your trees in. But no, right now, because it is cooler temperatures and they don't go through such a a stress. And we've brought these trees in early to help get them. We bring them in dormant and then to get them climatized to our area. So,
okay. But all these people, you've got, go ahead.
The advantage to doing that is if they're dormant when they come in, when they leaf out, they will leaf out and adapt a lot better to our drier, low humidity. And a lot of times if you bring those in out of the Northwest and they're not dormant, then they oftentimes will scorch a little bit until they shoot a new flush of growth. And that's absolutely correct. You know, you get these in dormant and let them acclimate, and they'll do a lot better in their yard.
Right. Okay. Well, we know people are loving getting out in their yards. We can see they're finding everything they need. But you've got plenty of tomatoes for us.
I do.
Through next
I got
weekend,
lots.
Right? Okay. Because it is the tomato frenzy, after all.
Yes.
All right. Come see us. We're at J&J Garden Center. We'll take your calls coming up next, 801-575-8255. Text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with us. We are at J&J Garden Center for the Tomato Frenzy. Just the final minutes of this show. Let me try and squeeze in everything I can here in the next few minutes. Let's go to Garrett in Harriman. Good morning, Garrett. How can we help you this morning?
Hey, I have lawn that is kind of deadish. I'd like to make it green and make it efficient without needing to, like, overwater it. I just wanted tips on what I should do to have a healthy lawn.
Well, if you want to make it so you're using less water, when you aerate, I would put down fescue seed, turf grass, turf-type tall fescue. And that'll, over time, get in there. And the fescue can go 2 or 3 days longer and stay green than Kentucky bluegrass. Just water twice a week deeply and just make sure you're checking your irrigation system at least monthly. And then your irrigation clock is going to be critical. And you don't, when you turn it on, you always adjust for the weather so that you're watering less when it's cool and a little bit more in the summer.
How often should you aerate your lawn? Every year?
Usually in every spring. You know, if it's a really heavy clay, then twice a year in spring and fall, especially if there's a lot of foot traffic on it.
Okay, I gotcha. I think that's it. I mean, just wanted to know what to do.
Okay.
Great. Thanks so much for your call. Dwayne would like to know, Ton, what are some options for putting under peach trees and pear trees to help keep the weeds down? Mulch or gravel? What do you think?
So what is he trying to do again?
He's trying to keep the weeds down around his peach and pear trees.
A gravel mulch would be fine. Bark mulch would be fine. Just keep it away from the trunk, because that trunk, if it gets stuff around it, can rot if it's too high. But either of those would be fine.
Does it matter how deep?
2 to 3 inches.
Okay. Let's go to our next phone caller. This is Matt in American Fork. Good morning, Matt.
Hi, I am looking for a peach tree, not something that is for bottling, but more something to just eat, a good variety for American Fork area.
If you can find it, there's one called O. Henry, that if you've ever seen the Seinfeld episode where Seinfeld and Newman are fighting over the last Mackinac peaches, you know, and they're dripping down their face, that O. Henry is a late September peach, and it just is sweet, and it drips down your face.
Okay, all right. Are they hard to find in Utah?
O. Henry is a fairly common variety, but it's just that generally the fruit trees are flying out the doors of the nurseries right now.
Okay.
And so if they carry it, it's oftentimes you need to be there the same day to pick it up.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening. Joan is listening in Brigham City. We answered her first question, which is about peonies. They have to be planted in full sun to do well. But her second question is she wants to plant some new trees in her front yard on the east side, and she wants something that will grow successfully, not take too long to grow, but be attractive. And what are you suggesting and when to plant them?
No time like the present. And east side, I wish she specified a size, but I'm assuming, you know, Merrily crabapple, Royal Raindrops crabapple, Spring Snow crabapple, Kwanzaa cherry. There's some other Akabono cherry. There's some very beautiful trees out there.
All right.
And all of those will have almost zero fruit.
Next person is saying something's eating the tops of their pea sprouts. Could it be birds? Every plant is affected.
Yeah, probably birds.
So what can you do about that?
Netting. Just some inexpensive netting you can get from local garden centers. You would plant and then put the netting over the top. You might need to use some hoops or something to hold it up a little bit, but and then you put dirt over the netting so that the birds can't get under it.
Okay, next person says they have some bushes, and when they flower, they look like daisies. They're getting quite large. They're wondering if it's too late for them to prune them now. Because they would be blooming soon, wouldn't they? You wouldn't want to prune those now, would you?
Well, if they're spring blooming, you want to wait till they're done blooming. If they're summer blooming, it's okay to prune them in the spring.
Okay. Next person says, my double knockout roses have black spots and yellowing canes. They've trimmed them out as best they can. What should they do now? A fungicide? Or what are you thinking?
Maybe. That's something that, did they specify a city or anything?
They did not.
They need to email pictures to their local extension office because those can be a lot of different things. They could try something like neem oil because that's something that's not going to be too harmful to beneficial insects, but it has antifungal properties and it can be sprayed weekly.
Mm-hmm. What's a good artichoke to grow in Weber County?
Andy, do you have any suggestions?
There's a couple of different ones. The sad part is I'm out of them right now. I've got some more on order, hopefully, here there next week. But, Tom, what kind of varieties do you like the best?
You know, I've always just found artichokes. I've never actually seen varieties at the local garden centers. They usually have a table, and it just says artichoke. And so I know there's a few different ones out there. USU has a fact sheet on artichokes that mentions two or three of them. Maybe they could download USU's fact sheet to see if they can find any.
I think there's one called, I think it's called Green Globe, I believe.
And I think that's one of our more common ones out there that seems to do well here in Utah.
All right, we have a couple of tomato questions, but we have just a couple minutes left in the show. The first person is asking, a friend had bought some Heritage or Cluster small tomatoes that were delicious, but they've never been able to find them. Either of you know? Do you
I've
have
heard
those?
Of the name Heritage before, but I don't carry that one. But I'd certainly put it on our wish list.
Any idea where they might find that, Ton?
I don't. I mean, it may be something that it's getting a little late to seed. They could still do it. It may be something they need to order online.
Okay. Next person says they're frustrated because by the time it's their time to plant the tomatoes, they're tall and spindly. We addressed this earlier, but you can pull the lower leaves off and plant them deep. So describe how to do that.
Yeah, and you don't even have to pull off those bottom leaves. You can just plant the whole thing. Just
oh,
leave
really?
Them alone. Yep. Leave the leaves on them and just get them planted.
It scares me to plant the plant that
deep. And
like
I say, if they're really big, you can actually lay them on their side, cover up that root ball, cover up the stem, and tip the little side of the head out. Just remember where that root ball is because that's where you'll want to start watering first.
Right. Thank you so much for having us here at J&J Garden Center.
Love to have
you. Tomato Frenzy. You know, this is my fun time of year. I've had a hard time sitting in my chair for the last 20 minutes because I'm excited to go in and buy tomatoes.
Like a kid in a candy store.
It's so true. It's so true. A reminder for our listeners, the Tomato Frenzy goes through next Saturday.
Goes through the 24th of this month. It's the large size containers. They're half off, so that puts them at $249. And then we also have all the other sizes to meet your needs, and we'll have those tomatoes for a long, long time.
They can't come in right now. What are your hours for the week?
So we are 8 to 8 right now, and that'll run for quite some time.
Well, excited to be here. Thanks again for having us. Yeah,
thank you.
Ton,
thanks, Andy.
Three weeks in a row that we've been together.
Yes.
I'm not sure how to handle that.
It's amazing. I think next week we're back in separated, and then we're up here again pretty soon.
Awesome. Mother's Day, the Saturday before Mother's Day. We're looking
forward
to that.
Yep, and we've got some really fun stuff for Mother's Day. So.
Great. Looking forward to it. Again, thank you for joining us for the Greenhouse Show. Have a great weekend. Again, the Tomato Frenzy is underway at J&J Garden Center. Oh, make sure you check out our new video on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Learn how to plant your spring planters.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.